The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond. The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning to you. It is Tuesday, the 6th of August, 2019. This is the Ryan Tubridy Show with me, Maggie Doyle. Our text number, 51551. Our email is ryan@rte.ie. We'd love to hear from you this morning. What a lovely bank holiday weekend that was just gone by. You might be feeling a bit tired after the weekend of it if you've had a busy one, a bit like myself. But inside the Irish Times today in the health supplement, five ways to have a stress-free morning. I like this. I'll go through them briefly. The first one is prepare the night before. Prepare what you can do the night before, from your packed lunch to laying out your clothes. I often have to lay out my clothes if I have to get up early to do some work in the morning, very early, because I cannot cope with having to decide what to wear if I'm limited to time in the morning. Don't hit the snooze button. Dr. Matthew Walker, professor of neuroscience in California, says hitting the snooze button disrupts uninterrupted good quality sleep. You're better off simply just setting your alarm for when you actually need to get up and get out of bed. The Sleep Council, which promotes healthy sleep habits, warns that your body experiences a spike in cortisol every time your alarm goes off. So you're better off just setting it and straight up and out and at it. Declutter. You should definitely have a place in your home for everything so that there's no, I suppose, confusion in the morning. So make sure that your keys and your essential items are in a certain place. So declutter the home beforehand. Get your breakfast ready the night before. I mean, that's taking the preparation a little bit too far, I think, for me. I mean, I might put the mug out and have the tea bag ready to go. But somebody here saying make your overnight oats in the evening. I mean, if you're getting the clothes ready and everything else, it's all a bit much to remember. And then take a few minutes, which is my favourite one. Many of us make the mistake of reaching for our phones first thing. Instead, we are encouraged to start the day with at least 5 minutes away from gadgets. Perhaps spend a little bit of time making a cup of tea and sitting down to drink it in peace. That is vital in the morning. It gets you to clear your head. And the daily commute can also be very stressful, but with a few tweaks, it can be less stressful. So just think about what you're doing in the mornings. A little bit of preparation goes a long way, I guess. This story has been covered in a lot of the papers today. The Herald has this headline: ashes to ashes doesn't mean bringing fags up to the altar, says priest. Also in the Daily Star. This is about Father Thomas Walsh of Gurnabrohar Parish in Cork. And he's spoken about the things that people bring up as offertory gifts during funerals. And he's written in the parish newsletter. So to the people in his community, he's basically saying bringing things up such as a can of beer, a packet of cigarettes, a remote control, a mobile phone or a football jersey doesn't tell us anything uplifting about the person who's died. Surely, he's quoted, items such as a flower, a family photograph, a prayer book or rosary reveals far more about the person who has died. Father Walsh also expressed frustration with eulogies that go on, quote, as long as the mass itself, sometimes longer. He added that a funeral mass should simply be about praying for the dead, calling it essentially the coming together of the family. Now, in an interview earlier on this year with the Echo newspaper in Cork, he also criticised parents who select non-believers as godparents for the christening of the child. He said godparents who have no faith at all and who have no intention in overseeing the child's faith formation are lying in the face of God. Even more outrageous is the presence of godparents who believe nothing themselves and are permitted to make promises to God. He also told the paper about the failure of individuals to act appropriately. It is becoming increasingly impossible to conduct baptism ceremonies with children running around wildly. Adults obviously only present for the celebrations afterwards, not caring about the disturbance they or their children are causing. So he's got a thing or two to say there. So he said stuff in the past and now he's coming out again. So I've never seen something like a mobile phone being brought up, or a remote control being brought up as offertory gifts at funeral, I must say. Flowers, pictures of families, all those sort of things, understandable, but yeah. Interesting. Great story being covered in The Sun today. And this is about a lady called Nina Taylor. Her name isn't as common as Kate Moss. However, Nina Taylor is dubbed the Kate Moss of hand modelling. And she's in a documentary on Channel 5, and it's about basically the hand modelling industry. She's got the upper hand in The Sun is the headline. One London-based woman nicknamed the Kate Moss of the hand modelling industry has opened up, revealing that she can make over $6,000 in a single day of work, and that she has insured her hands for $2.4 million. She's over two decades of experience up her sleeve. Nina Taylor has been opening up about her lucrative gig in the new documentary on Channel 5. What's fascinating is that she says that her everyday life has had to be curtailed slightly because of what she does, you know, which is interesting because your job can have all sorts of implications, I guess, for what you do in your day-to-day life. But it's interesting. She says, if I wanted to do gardening, I wouldn't be able to. She has to take care of those lovely, beautiful hands. And there are pictures of her beautiful hands, and they are very gorgeous. Beautiful, long fingers. She says, I wouldn't be able to play the guitar either. I have developed techniques like opening cans and stuff like that. There's a certain skill required for hand modelling. You really have got to be precise. You have to hold really still. It's not too difficult to hold your hands still, is it? I mean, you know, it is a precision work and it comes with a lot of experience. $6,000 a day. It's not bad. Now, I don't think she's talked about this necessarily on the documentary, but according to some reports, she has stood in. So she's actually been a hand model for different actresses. You know, the way they sometimes have a bum double, you know, for different actors in different movies. She's the hand double for apparently Demi Moore, Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson. I have never looked at their hands closely. I must look now the next time I see them on the red carpet. Oh yeah, they need a hand double for sure. Inside the online, actually, I should say, her.ie are running this story this morning. Prince Charles is considering a role in the new James Bond movie. Prince Charles is reportedly, he's reportedly been offered a cameo. He's 70, of course, Prince Charles. He visited the set and met Daniel Craig a few weeks ago because they are making the next James Bond movie. If he does take the role, the Prince of Wales would follow in the footsteps of his mum, the Queen, who had a brief part in Danny Boyle's tribute to the film ahead of the 2012 Olympics. And a source told The Sun they loved the buzz around the Queen's appearance alongside Daniel Craig and think Charles could top even that. I don't think he could. I don't think he could. We don't need Prince Charles in a Bond movie, do we? We were talking about different cameos. Remember Madonna appeared in one of the James Bonds a couple of years ago. I think she was fencing, actually. Yeah, it was all right. It's just all right. Time.com are running this story this morning, and there's a video that goes along with it that is frightening. I don't know if you've ever been on a train. I know it's happened to me on a tube in London before where something comes in that you're not expecting. For example, a pigeon or even like a wasp or something like that. And you're trapped, obviously, because you're on this train and you're waiting to get to the next stop so this animal can get out. Imagine being on a plane and a bat being on the same plane as you as you're flying in the sky. An actual bat. Passengers aboard a Spirit Airlines plane can be heard screaming and laughing, I know what I'd be doing more of, at an apparent bat flying around the cabin, taking the term in flight to a new place. According to tweets by this guy, Peter Scattini, who shared it on Twitter, it's amassed thousands of views. The bat appeared about half an hour into the Spirit flight. It was flying from Charlotte to Newark, so it wasn't too long of a flight. But it eventually was trapped inside the bathroom on the plane. How did they manage to do that? The bat was later then taken in by animal control officers. The aircraft was disinfected and searched as a precaution. No one was hurt in this incident, including the bat, who must have been incredibly frightened. You can't imagine, like, the poor bat, whatever about the people who were laughing and screaming. The bat must have been absolutely terrified. We talk a lot about emojis and all the rest of it and how do we communicate with people now online. There's an interesting piece in The Telegraph today talking about WhatsApp and WhatsApp etiquette, the messaging service, of course, WhatsApp. The headline is, don't use full stops and know when to use a winking face. How you come across in the digital world is just as important as how you come across in person, says internet British etiquette expert William Hansen. They've also got a quote here from Gretchen McCulloch, who's an internet linguist, who's written a book about how we develop our communication skills online. She says ending a message on WhatsApp with a full stop is increasingly seen as aggressive and rude. I had to look back on my WhatsApp messages from over the last few days. I use full stops, guys. Sorry. Didn't mean to become aggressive, but I use a full stop because I think that a full stop is needed to let somebody know you've moved on to the next sentence. Feel a bit like Jacob Rees-Mogg all of a sudden. Don't use the wrong emoji, because if you use a winking face, she says, it can come across as you're either flirting or joking. The cold sweat emoji can also be misinterpreted because people use it to mean awkward or close call, which is very similar to the grimace face that some use to convey a smile. So be careful about your exclamation marks as well. And also this point, which I like, keep group chats relevant to everyone. Group chats among people from different generations can be a difficult task to get right. It's very important not to become a spectator in a conversation with more than four people. So make sure that if it's a personal conversation between you and one other member, take it off to your own WhatsApp chat. So it's very interesting, very interesting. WhatsApp etiquette, how to message online. I like that. The Irish Times is reporting that, which you probably heard about already, the drivers watching videos among those of the 33,000 who were stopped for using mobile phones. In the 12-month period up to April this year, 32,715 people were detected committing the offence of using their mobile phones. But the frightening thing is, so many of them were watching videos on their mobile phones while driving, the official Garda Twitter account shows numerous incidents over recent months. The Irish Times reports that on the 20th of June, Garda posted about 13 motorists stopped in a Dare in County Limerick. Many were texting or watching videos. On May the 7th, the day of the Liverpool-Barcelona Champions League semi-final, Garda tweeted about a motorist stopped in North Dublin watching the match on the mobile phone while driving. On July the 11th, Gardaí at the scene of the crash on the N25 apprehended a motorist taking photographs while driving past. While driving past the scene of an accident. That's awful, awful. The Irish Times reporting on that this morning. I love this story inside the Times. Sexist men hit where it hurts for hassling women. In France, they introduced legislation last year, which is the first of its kind in the world. And it outlaws men using sexist behaviour against women, such as words or, you know, behaviour. So more than 700 men have been convicted of sexist behaviour in France under this law. The offenders have been fined up to €1,500 for wolf whistling, shouting insults, making sexual noises and gestures, or refusing to leave women alone when asked. And this law, it's separate to the existing law against sexual harassment, which requires victims to prove they've suffered repeated insults or suggestive comments. So this is a sort of a one-off law, really. Like, so if you do it, you can get fined up to €1,500. Fascinating stuff. Well done, I would say, to France for introducing that. A couple of texts in here. Emails, actually. Did you just say the bat was eventually trapped in the bat room on the airplane? Okay, we'll give you that. It's Tuesday after bank holiday. We'll give you that. Thanks for that email. Dan says, this is why Steve Jobs was a genius. He had a wardrobe which consisted of just dozens of black turtlenecks. I think we call them polo necks in this country. And therefore, left him more time to think about more important things than what to wear, says Dan in Drumcondra. Good point, Dan, yes. But it's a bit boring as well. I mean, you know, if you're just buying all the same things, I could never do that. I could never wear the same outfit day after day after day. Maggie says, Roger on text, maybe the bat was, oh dear, I see what's happening here now. No, it started, we can't. Maybe the bat was taking the bat plane to Gotham City to meet Batman and Robin. I think we'll leave it there for now and we'll take a song. This is Queen, the show must go on.
Take it anymore. The show must go on.
The Show Must Go On, ryan@rte.ie, and our text number is 51551. Now, I want to read you out this email that we received. Hi Maggie, I'm just sitting here in sadness. I'm writing this because I'm too proud to tell anyone about it. 10 years ago, I met the man of my dreams. Every day, he told me how great I was and how much he loved me. We went on to have two beautiful children. 2 years ago, I felt there was something wrong. I had a feeling he was having an affair as he started to be out a lot more. I set a trap and he fell into it. My suspicions were right. He was cheating on me. He begged for forgiveness and I gave in. This is now, I believe, the worst decision I ever made. I gave birth to a new baby earlier this year, our third child. I thought everything was great, we were happy, and I believed we were back in love. Well, the worst has happened. I have discovered he's been unfaithful again, but this time it's worse. I think he's sleeping with escorts. I discovered this through messages on his phone. I'm devastated. All I wanted was to fall in love and have a happy family. That's not much to ask for, is it? I have not told him I know. I can't bear to be around him. He knows there's something wrong. I'm afraid to leave him as we have three small children, a mortgage, and won't be able to afford it on my own. How sad is it, staying with someone just to keep a roof over my children's head? I can't tell anyone, as they all think he is amazing. What can I do? Should I confront him now or wait until I'm a bit stronger, as I feel I am very vulnerable at the moment with a new baby? I am just heartbroken and confused. Please keep my name and details confidential for obvious reasons. It's an incredibly, incredibly sad story. But thank you for sharing with us. And I cannot imagine how you're feeling. And particularly as you have a new baby and you're obviously a busy mum with three kids in your home and having to deal with this as well. It's very, very tough. And it's very tough to know actually what advice to give. I'm certainly not in a position to give you advice, I'm afraid. But maybe if you share your story with people around you, they might be able to kind of help you through it and support you, because, you know, we all need a good network around us when we're going through this kind of thing. So maybe they might help you as well. But what an absolutely devastating story, and obviously gave him a chance and it's happened again. We'll take a quick break.